The message that John was given was, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John, the blessing will come if you're not offended in me. The blessing will come, in the light of the context, John, if you don't doubt me. For the point of stumbling in John's life, that's the meaning of the word offended, was doubting the Lord, doubting the King. The cure for all doubt is putting your trust in him. John the Baptizer was given the message, and then the Lord Jesus Christ turned to the multitude, lest they think that he was being unduly critical of John, and told them that there was not a greater human being in the world than John, opened up the door for the glories of the age of grace by suggesting that any individual, however least he may be in the kingdom of heaven, in this age of grace, has a greater position of privilege than even John the Baptizer did. Then Matthew recorded yet another response to the proclamation of the gospel. And this response is one, I think, that perhaps we meet more than any other. I don't know of a better way to describe it than describing it by the words, the response of the unreasonable. Will you notice in your Bibles, please, the paragraph which begins with verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, "We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." I call the attitude of these individuals unreasonable. The Lord Jesus Christ calls it childish. He said, "You remind me of children playing in the courthouse square. One minute they want to do one thing, and the next minute they want to do something else, and they're not satisfied with either." The appeal for the King that was made on the one hand by the austerity of John, and on the other hand by the joy of Jesus, was not received. When they heard John preach, they said, "John is too severe." When they heard Jesus preach, they said, "He doesn't make demands enough." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "The real problem is you cannot be pleased with anything. The real problem is no appeal will ever convince you, because you have set your mind against the truth. You're unreasonable." Witnesses, will you keep in mind this morning that you cannot expect to please the people to whom you witness? And if you are attempting to do things in your own strength in order to appeal to men, you are going to be met with an unreasonable attitude. They won't be pleased. Now, the Apostle Paul made very clear that there are occasions when you adapt the presentation of the message to the needs of men. You notice what I said. The presentation of the message. You never adapt the message. The message is eternal. The message is always the same. But there are occasions when you may have to be all things to all men, that by some means you might win some, but only upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For if one day you are one thing and another day another thing, in the attempt to trick men into responding to the truth, you'll be disappointed. There are unreasonable people who will not be appealed to by austerity or by joy. And what is the way in which you can deal with a response such as this? What is the cure for your own concern because of this kind of response? The Lord Jesus Christ said words that I have summed up in one word the cure is time. Time? Yes, because if you will look at the last part of the 19th verse, wisdom is justified of her children. Give the method that you used in the presentation of the truth time, and the results will justify the method. A better translation than the word children in the text, and the translation that is used in most of the revisions, is the substitution of the word works for wisdom. Our King James text reads, wisdom is justified of her children. Revised versions render it, wisdom is justified by her works, and that is correct. Time will tell whether or not the message that you have delivered, in the manner in which you have delivered it, provided it has been delivered at the direction of the Holy Spirit, whether or not it is successful. You see, most of us would like to know immediately the success of our efforts. And we are all human enough to want to know whether our witness has been well received. But those who went forth to proclaim the message of the kingdom of heaven were met with individuals who were so unreasonable in their attitude, they did not know whether the seed that was planted would produce any fruit. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you don't only not know, you won't know, because it takes time. Wisdom is justified of her works. When we give forth the message, we must be sure that the message is the word. And then we must learn to rest upon the promise that God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent forth. The third response described in our chapter is the response of the indifferent. Will you notice what is recorded, please, in verse 20? Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted under heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And in this brief paragraph, the Lord Jesus Christ pinpoints the response of the indifferent to the message. Will you notice? They were not lacking. The best of the proclamation was presented in Chorazin, in Bethsaida, and in Capernaum. The greatest miracles performed were performed there. How often we are told, if only we could see a miracle, we would believe. It is not necessarily so. The greatest miracles performed by those who went out for the king and by the king himself were done in these three cities, and yet they remained totally indifferent to the message and made absolutely no response at all. So that the Lord Jesus Christ said there was nothing left for them but judgment based on light. Tyre and Sidon, two cities of ancient biblical history, were wicked cities. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, if those cities had had the opportunities that you have had, they would have repented. If they had had the light that you have had, they would have repented. They didn't have that light. So it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than it will be for Bethsaida and Chorazin. And the Lord Jesus Christ re-emphasized an eternal principle that judgment is based upon light. Don't worry about what the heathen are going to do who've never heard. Be concerned about yourself and the light you have. For men are going to be judged in the day of judgment. Unsaved men, impenitent men, indifferent men are going to be judged in the day of judgment because of the light which has been given them. And it would follow then that there is emphasized in this paragraph something that many of us are prone to forget, and that is that there are degrees of punishment in hell. For it will be more tolerable for Sodom, the wicked city of the plain, than it would be for Capernaum, the high and mighty city of the day of Christ. Because Sodom did not have the light Capernaum had. And Sodom would endure greater punishment, or Capernaum rather, would endure greater punishment than would Sodom because of the degree of light. When you proclaim your message, you who witness for the king, do not be discouraged to the point of despair because people are totally indifferent to the message you give. Recognize that this is one of the responses, and there is absolutely nothing that you can do about it. Don't berate yourself and say, if I had only presented the message more clearly, they would have responded. If only I could have done it in some unusual way that would have attracted their attention, they would have received it. Do not berate yourself in that fashion. The Lord Jesus Christ has established the fact that there are some individuals who will always be indifferent to the message. It is your responsibility to give the message. It is God's responsibility to deal with the response.